All right, thank you. Welcome, everyone. My name is Fernando. I'm coming from Spain, and I'm doing my master's in the Department of Horticultural Science in NC State. And I'm presenting my two-year data on pre-harvest and post-harvest effects of internal necrosis in Covington sweet potato. So a little bit about North Carolina sweet potato industry. We are ranked number one in the production in the nation, with 1.9 billion pounds harvest in 2017. We account the 54% of the national production in 2016. We had 95,000 acres, even though we went down to 89,500 acres in 2017. We still see that North Carolina is the largest supplier for the European market, and we have this trend of 5 years in a row we've gone from 4.2 to 7.5 pounds per capita consumption of sweet potatoes. So all this is possible thanks to the variety released by the breeding program at NC State. The cultivar Covington, released in 2005, accounts the 80% of the acreage, right now commercial acreage, and is the most important cultivar right now for the North Carolina. So Covington, a little bit about Covington, its shapes, and these I'm comparing to Beauregard, which it was the standard cultivar before Covington was released. On the top of that picture, on the up left, you can see that's Covington, and this is Beauregard. So it shapes more uniform. It has higher percentage of U.S. number ones, which is the best paid part of the crop. It has a great pack out with an 80 to 90% high starch content, bricks and sugars, and it stores very well. But it is highly susceptible to what we call internal necrosis. So what is internal necrosis? Internal necrosis is a physiological disorder that was first reported a year after it was released, Covington, in 2006. It appears the symptoms are black areas in the flesh near to the stamen. Some cases it will, as you can see in this picture, and I'll show more, it can cover like the whole cross section, and it cannot be identified until it's cut open. And this video here shows how we have to cut each of the roots to see if it has it, and eventually will disappear once we cut a third or a half of the potato, and you'll see how it disappears and it's gone. So what do we know about internal necrosis? We know that it's clone dependent of Covington, that it's not associated with a disease or virus. Herbicides and insecticides do not affect the occurrence of internal necrosis. Ethylene exposure in some studies we did where 100 parts per million were applied to the post-harvest, it was not associated with the occurrence at all. But an ethereal foliar spray, which growers used to use to desiccate the vines and stop the growth instead of mowing, that was proved in 2013 to increase the incidence of internal necrosis. And we know that internal necrosis is triggered after curing when heat is applied and will peak at 45 to 60 days after cured. So most recent associations, even though they were not replicated studies before I arrived 2 years ago, they suggested that high levels of chlorinated fertilizers used by most of the growers in North Carolina, combined with curing temperatures and duration, tend to result into more internal necrosis. Some facilities we've seen over these past 2 years and before that tend to have more internal necrosis than others. And also, we do know that it's an abiotic stress condition in the field, and it can be aggravated in the post-harvest level. It's what it's really detrimental for these internal necrosis. So with that, my 2 years, 2016-2017 studies, with the objective of having a pre-harvest effect of a high chlorinated fertilizer in combination with mowing or not mowing, and at a post-harvest level have different curing temperatures and duration to see that what the incidence and severity is. So we had in 2016 three locations, two on farm and one the Cunningham Research Station in Kingston. 2017 we only had Warren Farms and the Research Station. So my pre-harvest treatments here, I show the two fertilizers. The PS is potassium sulfate and Muyero Potash MP, mowing versus not mowing, and this is how our studies will look at randomized complete block design, where we would have replicated four times each of the pre-harvest treatments. At the post-harvest treatments, we will have a curing temperature of 75 and 85, and then we included 2017 and 95 treatment. The curing duration would go from half week to 5 weeks first year, and then we cut it off to 2 weeks the second year. And then we will have a no cure. So this is just an example. If we have a plot 204 Murrieta potash with a mold treatment, then we will have our post-harvest treatment 75, 85, and 95, and each of them would have a curing duration of half week all the way to 5 weeks or 2 weeks in the second year, and then the no cure. So the methods, when the roots were harvested, we will put 30 roots in each of the bags of each of the field plot per treatment and were collected. And then we would move, after the curing process was done, we would move them to 58 degrees. We would cut them around 90 days after harvest, and we would look for severity, being a number one and no internal necrosis, and then from 2 to 5, as you can see in the picture, being the 5 the most severe. Then we will also record a percentage of incidence. So if there was a 1, that would be no internal necrosis, so it would be a 0% out of the 30 roots that we will cut per plot treatment. So in 2016, and I'll separate pre-harvest and post-harvest results, 2016 doesn't show any differences between the mowing and not mowing and fertilizer in the farm locations, but in the Kingston Research Station, we had 3 interactions that result to be significant. 2017, the same, no fertilizer interactions, but the two locations now again show the mowing treatments have a significant difference. So for this first location and the combination of mowing and duration, I highlight from half week to 2 weeks, we see that there is an increase in percentage from 4 to 8, or in the not mode from 4 to 11, and 2017 it repeats the same trend. The other interaction is the mowing with temperature, where you can see that 85 is higher in both years. But I want to point out here that the pre-harvest treatment that it's really higher is the not mode treatment, which before we were suggested and by growers that they thought that the mowing treatment was the one that was really causing. And this finding, it's been determined on this year, that it repeated this year. In 2016, we saw it. 2017, we corroborated. So 2017, we have a mowing and duration again, and this is in Warren Farms, in a farm that it's participating with us, and the same, the interaction of mowing and not mowing with the weeks of storage. You can see from half week to 2 weeks, the increase. But again, I point out, and the mowing and temperature is the same, I point out again that the not mowed is higher than the mowing treatment. And then this only 1 out of the 5 locations in 2 years that was significant is the fertilizer. The high chlorinated Muriero potash was higher than the potassium sulfate under the 82 degrees. So our post-harvest treatments, we found differences the 5 years with temperature and duration and as main effects and combined. So this table here, I'll go a little bit slower for this one because we do have the 2 years here and the 3 locations. We're going to be looking at curing duration that I just highlighted. First year it was all the way to 5 weeks. Second year was only 2 weeks. And then we'll look at the temperature, 75 or 85. And you'll notice that I do not show the 95. And I'll answer that question if somebody asks me, and I'll say why we're not including this. But if we focus in 75 and 85, and we go first with Warren Farms, we see how highlighted in red, the percentages go from 4 to 17 and 4 to 9. And both years we are following the same trend. As we cure more longer, we'll have that more internal necrosis. The first year, 2016, it plateaus after the second week. We can see that it goes down to 11 and the, or goes to 12, but then to 9. So we erase that 3 and 5 weeks. Same with Kingston, the research station, from 3 to 8, under 75, but then under 85 degrees, we get to double digits after 2 weeks, and the same for 2017. And then Hilltop Farms, only that first year, follows the same trend. What I want to point out here is to see how it makes a difference when you go from half week, and you'll see across all the numbers, 4 and 4, no matter if you're at 75 or 85, it's not making a big difference. But once you pass that half week and you're under 85, you're making a difference. You're going to, for example, Warren Farms 17 compared to 9. So it makes a difference, the duration with a combination of 85. So as a summary, the pre-harvest fertilizer treatments do not seem to have any effect on internal necrosis. Pre-harvest treatments 2017 showed that the incidence, it was significant at the no-mode versus the mode. It was consistent, the post-harvest treatments 2016 and 17, to have a result in internal necrosis. Curing duration increased from half week to 2 weeks. Higher internal necrosis occurred under 85 versus 75. And no cure both years were not included in the stats, but we only had a 5% and 1% with 58 degrees. So with that, I thank the North Carolina Sweet Potato Commission, commercial growers, research station, and the county agents. And this is my information if anybody has any questions after this. Thank you. Yes. We are recommending already to, first of all, one thing that nobody used to do is monitor inside the bins, see what your temperatures are inside your bins. But for now, we're trying to tell people that measure temperature, pulp temperature, before you put them in curing. And if you're at 85 pulp temperature, just don't even start curing. Just let those temperatures will go up. And whenever you reach 85, try to bring them down in less than 4 days. 4 or 5 days, less than a week. Yes.
So, we cure the sweet potatoes in order to make sure that they store well.
Now, yes.
If you do only half, like,
yeah.
Be cured, you know, instead of, let's say, 14 days,
right.
Does it affect the storage?
Great question. So the question is that does minimizing curing temperature and duration will affect the post-harvest quality? We have a study that it's looking only at rhizopus, which is one of the common post-harvest diseases, and we are trying to verify that if we lower the temperature and duration, we will not have any of those. I can tell you, I don't have results, but I can tell you that growers that have brought those temperatures down haven't reported so far any problems with post-harvest disease. Yes. Yeah, no. So I was going to explain. The 95 degrees, we try to reproduce in these chambers what happens commercially. And we recorded that the humidity on top of our potatoes was 100%. So it was literally dripping water on top of those. So we had rot potatoes. We just couldn't have a consistency. But we're looking at that because it was absolutely a 0% internal necrosis under 95. So. Yes. Yes. Okay, so what we would do and what normally the growers do is mow your top beans, top foliage 10 to 14 days. That's what we did in the mowing treatment. The no-mow treatment, we just divine right before we go into harvest. So we don't touch the foliar before.
The foliar was green.
Was green and absolutely. And the day before, that same day, we just... take it off with a mower. It would be 110 days after planting.
But that was in September. It's
September. Yeah, September. It's September. I didn't put it up. We have three different harvests.
Okay.
within 2-3 days. Temperature, yeah. We've done another study on that too. I wish I could talk about that, but we can talk about that after. Sorry. I want to travel down there and see what they do. Cause,
good.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's do it. Thank you.